verse 10 of Colossians 2, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And of course, in the context there, Paul is speaking of our Savior. You're complete in him. The word complete is the verb form of the word fullness in verse 9. He is the fullness, noun, of the Godhead bodily. In him dwelleth the fullness. That's a noun. And we are complete to make full, verb, in him. And so it's important, I believe, to see that. And this word is used to remember, show, why philosophy, the love of wisdom, the vain deceit of false religion, the tradition of men, the rudiments or principles of this world, in fact, anything that is not Christ, verse 8, is to be shunned and despised, because Christ is literally all. He is the fullness of the Godhead, and in him you're full. We've been told in this context, in this brief passage already in verse chapter 2, that all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. I want us to understand what that is. And I pray that only God can reveal that to us, and I pray that he will to all of us. When somebody talks about wisdom and knowledge, or comes up with something that they consider is a product of their wisdom or knowledge, if it has nothing to do with Christ, it doesn't meet the definition of it. It doesn't qualify. There is what's called the wisdom of this world, but that's foolishness to God. That's foolishness to God. So what should it be to us? All of the treasures, all of them, of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. Verse 3. That's what that says. So the Son of God himself, a person. A person is the treasury of all wisdom and knowledge. And the world is trying to figure out everything that pertains to what they want. Right? In pursuits that they feel are important to obtain things that they want, they're trying to figure out how to do that, how to get rich, how to do this or that better in order to be famous or wealthy, how to find contentment. What can I do? How can I arrange my life in such a way that I'm content and happy? All of man's efforts and all of their resources are spent, and those are given by God, by the way, are spent in pursuit of gain and fleshly fulfillment. But hidden to them, is that Christ is all to his people. We're not trying to figure it out, are we? I'm not trying to figure it out. If I'm not content in Christ, I'm not going to be content. All of it is in him. The truth, the wisdom, the knowledge that the world seeks. They want to know the origin of man. It's Christ. They want to know the purpose of man. It's Christ. They want to know the end of man. Where are we going to end up? Christ. You're going to stand before him. Your knee is going to bow to him. Think about this. The wisest man that ever lived, according to God, Nobody before you, nobody after you, other than the wisdom of God himself, the God-man, of course, but mortal man. The wisest one that ever lived concluded that all of the desires and pursuits, attainments of the flesh, are vanity and vexation of spirit. Not only are they empty, but for somebody that knows God, they don't cut it. It's just vexing. If you see what's going on in this world, it will vex you. It doesn't seem to be right, does it? Because of our sin, it's not. Of course, in God's purpose, everything's happening right on schedule. And just as it should. But if you try to find pleasure in what's going on in this world, or fulfillment, contentment, joy, happiness, and you know God, you're not going to find it. Because nothing can compare. If a man should gain the whole world, it'll profit him absolutely nothing. The wisest man that ever lived concluded that. All of it. And he had the means to fulfill every pleasure he could possibly pursue. And he said, it's worthless and vain, and it vexes me. And he added this, the key to everything is to bow to God and honor him. Fear God and do what he says. Now you think about that. To fear God is to bow before him, to reverence him, to see him for who he is. You're not going to fear him till you know him. To fear God and to bow. Now, think about these two things. Bow to him and honor him. In other words, obey him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Obey him. Do what he says. And God, what God says is not keep the law. That's not going to save you. That's not the message of Scripture. What God says is bow to my son. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a king that made a marriage for his son. We're going to honor his son. So to bow to him and to honor him. Christ is God's king. And he that honoreth not the son, honoreth not the father. How to live physically, temporally in this world. That's it. Worship. To fear God and to obey him is what? It's worship. You can say you're worshiping here this morning because you came to church. But are you worshiping? Worship, like love, is an action. It's an action of the heart. It's something that manifests itself. Love is defined in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 by what it does do and what it doesn't do. Worship is the same way. If you worship him, of course you're going to be present when he's preached. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's not just showing up. It's being committed to him. Everything you have. Everything you are, everything you do, your time, your money, everything. What was the fellow's name that gave the threshing floor for the offering of the sacrifice? He said, I give it all. I give it all. It's all yours. That's every believer by God's grace. Every believer. Because God works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So that's what the smartest man that ever lived concluded, to worship him, to live in this world, worship. Listen to Matthew 7:12. Now this is hidden Christ. This world doesn't know anything about it. They'll call it the golden rule and say that you need to live by the golden rule. You see, have you seen any of that going on lately? Listen to what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What are we talking about? We're talking about all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge being hid in Christ. And we're talking about right now, just temporally, life, how to live, who to be in this world, how to walk in this world. You realize in one sentence that the Lord Jesus Christ just ended all war and all hate and all crime? The treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Him. If you never treat anybody any other way than how you would have them treat you, if everybody did that, of course it's not going to happen. But that wisdom is in Christ. And to the extent that you do that, you're going to be real happy in this world. And when we do that, we're going to attribute all glory to Him who worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. How to live spiritually, how to be saved from your sin. All of the wisdom regarding that and the knowledge. You want to know how a sinner is saved? It's hid in Christ. And I say hid because, again, this world don't get it. The world's most devout religion is dedicated to get people saved, and they don't know what salvation is. How to be saved from your sin. That's what you need to know this morning. Men have come up with all manner of inventions with regard to this. Do this, say that. Hidden to them is that salvation's a person. You are complete in Him. You are full in Him. You are fulfilled in Him. How can a sinner ever be with God and be well-pleasing in the sight of God? The answer to that question is hid from this world. But you know where it is? It's in the Son of God. All that's worth knowing for time and for eternity. I don't even know how to say it. How do you even say it? How to be righteous in the sight of God? You interested in that? You want to be able to stand in the presence of the Holy God and not just slide by, but to be precious in His sight and well-pleasing in His sight. Christ living as us. Yet without sin is our righteousness. He didn't show us how to be righteous. I guess you could say He did that. That's not salvation. He didn't just come and show us how to be righteous. We kind of know that because of Him. Because of Him, we do. But how to perform that? How is it with you? Everything worth knowing. What about all of the sin that we commit every day and have all of our lives and will all of our lives? Christ is our sin offering. He washes sins away in His precious blood. Not an offer, not potentially. He died for our sins, the sins of His sheep, according to the Scriptures. And He obtained eternal redemption for everyone He sanctified with His precious blood. Quit coming up with stuff. Quit listening to other people that come up with stuff. And rest in the Son of God. I see people pursuing things. I see them finding their hope and their fulfillment in the pursuit of things that have nothing to do with Christ. You've missed everything. You've missed everything, and you're probably using His name to do it. You're probably saying, this is an important cause, you know. We're going to go after this. We're going to try to change the world. The world don't need to be changed. The world needs Christ. Christ is the change. How are you going to change the world? What are you going to do for the world? In our text, it says that Christ is the head of all principality and power. That word head means supreme, chief, prominent, the master. The master and Lord. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him. This is of necessity true. If all the fullness of the Godhead is embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he's the master. Jesus of Nazareth then is the master. He's the preeminent one. He's the supreme. He's the chief. Everyone who sees him for who he is bows and owns him as master. Think of this. Knowing God is to have the Son reveal to you who God is. We know that from Luke 10:22. All things, our Lord said, are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. If you know God, it's because his Son revealed him to you. You saw him in his Son. You know the attributes of God, the character of God. You know who he is by looking to his Son and seeing those attributes lived by the Son in the Scriptures. So we have this thief on a cross. He's there crucified with another like him. And Jesus of Nazareth, one despised from his birth, is crucified in between them. Despised, railed on, discredited by everybody who names the name of God. You think about that. Every so-called godly person discredited him as a fraud and a blasphemer. Both of the thieves begin to rail on him and mock the Nazarene, not knowing that he isn't just a Nazarene, but he's God's only begotten Son. In fact, he is all of the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. He's the head. He's the chief. He's the master of all and all things. Will these thieves go to hell reviling the only one who can save them? Or will the Son reveal God to them? One of the thieves goes silent for a time and refrains from joining in when the other one hurls a venomous insult into his face. And our thief says to the other, "Don't you fear God? Aren't you afraid of God? Where did that come from? You're hanging on a cross because you deserve it. But not this man. He has not done anything wrong. Nothing amiss. Not only has he not done anything terrible like we have, but he hasn't done anything that's even off a little bit." That's what that word amiss means. He hasn't even strayed at all. He's not dying for the reason we're dying. He's dying for some other reason. He hasn't done anything to deserve it. And he said unto the Lord Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Why would he say that? Why would he speak of a kingdom Why would he address that man as Lord? Well, that's because of who he is. That's who he is. He just saw him. He just saw who he is. You're the head. You're the chief. You're the master. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. Look what our text says that our Lord is master of. Principality. You ever wondered about that word? This word means beginning, origin, that by which anything begins to be. The origin, the active cause. He is the master of all origins and active causes. In other words, our Savior is the cause of every cause. The origin of all beginnings. You've heard preachers say he's the first cause for everything. And that's the truth. He's the master of all in authority. If anyone has any authority, it came from him. And he is the authority over that authority, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If a man spends his whole life proving that the universe came from an explosion in space, he will die still not knowing where the universe came from. The beginning of beginnings, he said, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. If a man spends his whole life telling sinners what they need to do to be saved, go down the Roman road, walking out, make a decision, he will die still not knowing how God saves sinners. Because Christ is the cause of all causes. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 12. You'll be familiar with this passage, but we want to look at this in connection to our text, particularly this morning. Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see that word author? Looking unto Jesus, the author. Arche, or actually the emphasis is on the last syllable, it's arche. Arche in Greek is the noun in our text, principality. Principalities. It's singular, principality. Archegos is the adjective author in this verse. Christ is that by which anything begins to be of our faith. And think about this in the same breath. He is the cause of our faith. There are secondary causes. You have to hear the gospel, right? What are you believing otherwise? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So preaching saves sinners. Yeah, but Christ is the cause of preaching saving sinners. That by which anything begins to be. The author of our faith. And in that same breath, he's saying who the object of our faith. Where are we looking? unto Him. We're looking to the one that gave us the faith to look. Why did God give us faith? Why did Christ author faith in us? To cause us to look to Him. Who is salvation? Who is our righteousness? Who is our sin offering? Who is the Master? The author and finisher of our faith. Why did we ever for the first time look to Him? Because of Him. He's the Master of all power, our text says. You look that word up in the Greek. Very first definition, top of the order, means this: power of choice. That word right there, He is the head of all power. Shuts down every free will false church in the world when He gets good and ready to. Liberty of doing as one pleases. He's the master of that. Christ is sovereign. You're complete in Him because of who He is. He's sovereign. Remember the exhortation that immediately precedes our text in verse 6. Look back at our text. Verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith. It doesn't say in Him there, but we know whose faith is in, who's the object of faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein. In Him, with thanksgiving, in the walking in Him, Christ Jesus the Lord. Thank God He's on the throne. So you're complete in Him, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, both for time and for eternity. And having received Him, walk in Him, rooted in Him, built up in Him, established in Him, as you've been taught. He's teaching us. That's what we're doing here. He's teaching us. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thank God He's on the throne. Nothing can begin to be without Him. And when something does begin to be, He's the master of it. He's the master of it. He chooses. He has the power of choice. The liberty of doing as one pleases. That's just being God. Man claims that. It's an empty claim. The liberty of doing as one pleases. He chooses who gets sick and who don't. He chooses who gets wealth and who don't. He chooses who has authority of any kind and who doesn't. He chooses every outcome. He chooses every detail of every circumstance. He chooses who's saved and who's not. You can get mad at that because you want to be the head, or you can bow to Him who is the head of all principality and power, whether you like it or not. His people like it. Beware of new stuff. Remember now what he's saying. Philosophy, vain deceit, the rudiments of the world, the elements of this world, the tradition of men. Avoid, beware. Beware of new stuff. People always coming up with a new, well, look what I found. I'm thankful for new revelation of Christ, aren't you? We see the same thing, maybe from a different passage of Scripture, and that's delightful. But beware of clever insight. Look what I figured out. If you take this word, you know, the 10th word of every chapter of every book, it has a secret message or something. That's an extreme example. There's a lot more subtle examples of that, though. Beware of clever insight into the Scripture. God's preachers aren't trying to figure out what the Bible says. Do you know what the Bible says? We're still trying to figure out how to say Christ is all without messing it up. Without getting in the way of it. We know what it says by God's grace. Not looking for something new, not for some new revelation. God gives us more light on what we already know. Remember when Simon Peter said, I think what I need to do as long as I'm in this body is to tell you what you already know. To teach you these things, though you already know them. Isn't that what he said? The Bible doesn't say a lot of things. It says one thing a lot of times in a lot of ways. Beware of causes. Well, I want to make a difference in the world. What people mean by that, beware of it. I see it right now. Off on some cause. Some man that's good about talking people into things has made it sound good. And so Christ is no longer enough. Christ is the difference. Our text in verses 9 and 10, a very simple message, Christ is everything, in verse 9. In verse 10, having him, you have everything. What are you looking for? Let's pray.